Let's pray and get into the word of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit who takes the things of Messiah and makes them known to us. We thank you for ears to hear and eyes to see what you're saying to us by the Spirit of God. We thank you that you put a treasure inside of us, Father, in an earthen vessel, that the sufficiency of the power is of God and not in ourselves, and that you have made us able ministers of the good news of Jesus Christ, not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. And Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word giveth light, it gives understanding to the naive. We thank you for the deep things of God that are revealed to us by your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence and your wisdom. And we thank you that you lead us into the truth and guide us into righteousness. And Father, this morning we believe that the yoke is being destroyed because of the anointing and purpose, not just to hear this word, but be doers of it. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Well, we have been on a series on the end days, an overview of the last days. In the last several weeks, we've been specifically looking at the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Again, we believe that Jesus will physically, literally come to this earth and reign for 1,000 years. We call it premillennialism, and we believe in premillennialism. We don't believe that the end time scriptures are just figurative. We don't believe that the book of Revelation and the prophetic utterances of the Old Covenant are simply metaphoric or symbolic. We believe that they're literal. When we talk about interpreting the Bible literally, there is a danger that you can get into being too literal of scriptures, where you take things and say, well, that's the literal. In other words, you know, there's scriptures in the Bible that you can't take too literal. You know, the Bible says Judas hung himself. Another scripture says, go and do likewise. You know, so we wouldn't want to take that literally, would we? But the basics of biblical interpretation is when the scripture makes sense, seek no other sense, otherwise you end up with nonsense, which is what figurative interpretation in this day and age we see all over is doing. It's taking scripture and making nonsense out of it, bending it to the whim of human beings instead of bending us to the whim of scripture. And that's what we want to make sure that we do. We're always bent to the scriptures, not scripture bent to us. And so when it comes to interpreting the end time events, while we don't know exactly how all of these things are going to unfold entirely, we see through a glass dimly, we are given these scriptures for the reason to help us prepare for the things ahead. And if you are simply a futurist, a futurist simply believes that this was all fulfilled, most futurists believe that the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel was fulfilled when Titus and the nation of the Roman Empire sacked Jerusalem in 70 AD, and that was the fulfillment of the abomination of desolation. And then everything for that, we've entered into what they call the millennial right now, and we're trying to bring heaven to earth in the sense that we, you know, out of that comes the teaching of dominion theology, this idea that we're going to take over the planet and Christianity and Christ and his kingdom is going to become so influential that we'll just govern the nations. But I think if you're really honest with yourself, then what's going on? Because we're seeing, since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're not seeing us govern the nations. I mean, there's some nations that are more Christian than others, right? Like South Korea, many African nations. But overall, we can't say that we're governing the nations. And some people say, well, maybe that's going to take a longer time. Well, the real problem I have with that understanding of Scripture, if that's the case, then Jesus should have returned by now. Is he not coming back? And so that's what we just simply disagree with that interpretation of Scripture. We believe the book of Revelation, we believe the abomination of desolation, we believe the Antichrist kingdom is yet to unfold. But we also believe that we're living next door to it. When is it going to happen? We don't know for sure. But we do know that we're closer than we've ever been, and we do know that the signs that the Scripture gives, the signposts on the way to the return of Christ, are certainly unfolding right before our very eyes, especially when we look at what's happening in the Middle East and with the Islamic resurrection of the Islamic hordes and all the nations around Jerusalem and around the northern Africa and all over that region are becoming radically Islamic, anti-Israel, and anti-Christ. And the Scripture said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, look up, for your redemption draws near. So we're seeing these signposts that Jesus spoke of in Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter, Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter, also in Luke's Gospel, recorded as. But we're seeing these signs, and of course many of these signs have been throughout history since the resurrection. But yet we've seen a greater intensity of them than ever before. We're seeing them overlap one another. And of course Jesus gave us this indicator. He said that the earth is like travail. The earth is like a woman giving birth to a child. It's in birth pains. And it's groaning and travail. And we know from a woman having a baby how contractions happen. They start slowly and they get more intense. And they get closer together until they're one upon another. And the baby enters the birth canal and the child is born. And we know when the baby enters the birth canal, that's the most dramatic part of the birth part, right? You ladies all said yes, amen, and we know about that. But that's what the earth, I believe, we're in that stage right now where the baby, so to speak, has entered the birth canal and we're in a transition period heading into the home stretch of Jesus returning. And so we're seeing an intensity, not only in nature, we're seeing an intensity of nation rising against nation, we're seeing an intensity of false messiahs, false teachings, great delusion throughout the whole earth, great delusion in our own nation that we've never seen anything like this today, where people are departing from the foundation that this nation was built upon of the scriptures and seeking after every sort of spiritual experience that has no foundation, no biblical basis whatsoever, and we're suffering the consequences of that, aren't we? Amen. Well, last week we were looking at the coming restoration. We began to look at some of the characteristics that are going to mark the millennial reign of Jesus, when Jesus physically comes to the planet and lives. Because if you look at the last days and you look at all the things that are unfolding and you look at what's going on and what's going to happen, because I believe, and we've heard this before, you've heard me preach this many times, that we're heading for some tough times. I think we're just simply delusional if we don't believe that. Now, we've gone through seasons of tough times, and our politicians always want to give us the idea that, well, you know, we've been through this before, but we'll overcome. We'll pull ourselves up by our bootstraps because we're Americans, and we'll overcome. But the scripture said in the last days, God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. God is going to allow the very core and foundation of everything human beings trust in to be shaken to its very foundation so that everybody recognizes nothing is reliable except God. Brother Harlow preaching on preparing for the coming storm. And I think that's very vital. I think that we need to be prepared. We as God's people don't want to be of the opinion that, well, you know, it's all going to work out so I don't have to do anything. I think God gives us these warnings so that we do prepare, so that we're not overtaken by these things. You know, the scripture says that that day will not overtake you like a thief. Let us not be like those who walk in darkness. In other words, don't be ignorant of the times we live in so that the times come upon you and go, oh, I guess we're in trouble because I didn't make any preparation. And you say, well, what kind of preparation can I make? Well, first of all, we have to prepare spiritually, right? You need to make sure that your faith and trust is in God, not the U.S. government, right? Or any other natural thing, because that's all going to go bye-bye. I mean, our monetary system, we know, and all the predictions seem to be indicating we're heading for another major, major financial meltdown. I mean, we're, you know, just on the bubble. I was reading an article a while back, you know, gas is down to $2 in our area, $2.50-some cents. It's in other places, it's clear down to almost $2 a gallon. The lowest we've seen it since last, what? Financial meltdown. And I was reading an article about this that a great amount of our U.S. bonds are in oil companies, hold those bonds. And when they can't make a profit off extracting oil from the ground, and of course Saudi Arabia is in an oil war with us because we're cutting into their gains and they want to stop that. So Saudi Arabia and the OPEC is in an oil war in the nations. And if companies can't produce oil, then all of a sudden they lay people off. And this happened back when, I remember when we went to Oklahoma, it was right after the great oil bust in the 80s, and the economy in Oklahoma was terrible because all these oil companies went broke. And we don't want to see that happen. So there's always, you know, we look at, yeah, it's only $2.50 a gallon I got to pay for gas, but there's always the catch. Those who are making money and employ a lot of people, if they can't make a profit, they're going to go broke. And so there's that aspect. Everything's tied to everything else, isn't it? Especially globally. And other things. So we believe and we know that we're heading for an economic meltdown. We just topped $18 trillion in our debt. and we're $200-some trillion in obligatory debt. That means if the U.S. government had to fund all the future expenditures, including Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and all of the other expenditures, not just those alone, but everything else we owe, that's how much we will have to pay in the future, and we know that we don't bring in that much revenue. So something's got to give. And so we definitely know that we're heading for an economic collapse again, and this collapse will be much greater than any collapse we've ever seen in our history. It will have ramifications that will just shake our very foundation of our nation. And then, of course, if you've read Jonathan Cahn's The Shemitah, how many of you ever read the book by Jonathan Cahn, The Harbinger of the Shemitah? If you haven't looked at that, I would urge you to go on YouTube, watch Jonathan Cahn. He's a Jewish prophet out of New York City who, after 9/11, God gave him a revelation out of Isaiah chapter 9 about these harbingers, these signs that we look for, and how God showed him how this is tied to the very foundation of our nation. And when a nation departs from God and God begins to remove his grace from that nation, God gives the nation an opportunity to repent. But if the nation will not repent, then God will allow judgment to come upon that nation. And I believe Jonathan Cahn really has some real insight into some of these things. And one of the things he also brings out that God showed him that we're in right now is called the Shemitah, which is the year of Jubilee. And we've entered it in that, and it will end in 2015 of September. That's when the Shemitah year will end. And it's quite fascinating because it goes back at different... The Shemitah was a year where they would cancel all debts. If you had slaves, your slaves got to go free. If they were Jewish, all debts were canceled. All land was returned back to its original owner. It was God's way of assuring that land stayed in a family. So you didn't lose your land, because your land, as a primarily agricultural society under the nation of Israel, represented your future. And if your family lost its land because you entered into a debt or you had to sell some land financially, God made sure that things kept, they were kept in balance. And so what Jonathan Cahn brings out in his book and his teachings of Shemitah is how that if you look throughout history, especially in Israel's history, when they honored God and they kept the Sabbath and they kept honoring the Lord by honoring his commandments, the year of Jubilee would be a year of great blessing. But when they didn't honor God, it became a year of great judgment, not only on nations but on individuals. And he points out how that it was throughout Shemitah years, those years of Jubilee, that we look throughout history and you can see where nations were destroyed and nations were brought into power, both good and bad. It's quite fascinating. So, yeah, if you've never listened to any Jonathan Cahn's teachings on the Harbinger or the Shemitah, go on YouTube. There's a lot of teachings he has on there. And rather than maybe reading the book, it'll condense it into a real concise form. But I think God's given us these warnings. And God is showing us as a nation that I'm giving you grace and an opportunity to get your act together, an opportunity to repent. And, of course, if we don't, and we're certainly seeing since 9/11, America doesn't show any signs of repentance as a nation. And you may say, well, we as Christians are repenting. Well, if we look at the church overall in America, and we look at the government overall in America since 9/11, I think it's pretty clear to see that we're further down the road in darkness than we were before 9/11. I mean, the things that have unfolded in our government are atrocious. The absolutely disdaining of God and the rejection of his commandments. And the truth is, God judges nations based upon what rulers do. And I think God will hold America much more severely accountable, because we're not like a dictatorship nation where we don't have a choice. We have a choice as to who we elect. And America elected this particular president full well knowing that he is probably the most ungodly president we've ever had in our history. You know, it always, when this particular president was elected, and I'm not, you know, we need to honor our president. He is a our president. He is elected. But I don't look at just this president and the anti-Christian things he does. I also look at the fact, it reminded me when he was elected, that the Lord, I felt, spoke to me. It reminded me of when the nation of Israel sought a king, and Samuel was very disturbed by it. And he goes to the Lord in prayer, and he was upset about it. And the Lord said, "Don't worry, Samuel. They've not rejected you, they've rejected me. But I want you to go back and tell them this is going to be the consequences of your rejection. You're going to pay taxes to that king. He's going to take your young men, put them in his army. He's going to extract things, and you're going to be under servitude to him. That's the consequences of this." And I believe that America, frankly, electing a president that is by far the most anti-Christian president, pro-abortion, pro-anti-family, if that makes sense, president we've ever had in our history. And to be frank with you, I think the worst president we've ever had in our history. And that's pretty strong words coming from a pulpit in America, isn't it? But we're not in an election year, and we're not voting, and there's nothing wrong with a preacher telling you the facts. America has elected a man and voted for things, and not just the election of this president, it's the whole attitude of Americans in this country of rejecting God in favor of their own will. Basically, what Americans are saying is we will not be ruled over by anyone other than ourselves. And you know what God is going to allow to happen? Let's see how that works for you. Amen? Now, God is merciful, and God has given us an opportunity to repent, but if America continues on the road of rebellion and rejection of the commandments of God, we will reap the consequences. And I've always said, if that's what it takes to get America to its knees and repent and turn back to God, so be it. Because the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell, Scripture says, the grave. Well, that wasn't in my message this morning, as you can tell by your notes, but it's just wanted to throw that out for you anyhow. Glory to God. Amen. But last week we were began looking at the millennial reign and what's going to happen when Jesus comes to the earth. So when Jesus comes back to the earth to rule and reign, let's look at our opening scripture. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Now, this is a scripture, if you've ever listened to Handel's Messiah, it's right from Handel's Messiah. Handel, I should say, took it from this scripture. And it's talking about this day when this child will rule us. And who is that child? It's the Messiah. He's the one whom the government will be upon his shoulders. And he'll rule the nations. He'll rule this earth. And that day is coming. We're looking forward to it. Because this is what's going to happen when Jesus comes and rules on this earth. Once again, he's going to rule from the nation of Israel. And he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. And he's going to take out of all the nations everything that is offensive and affront to his kingdom. And he's going to have absolute sovereign authority over the nations of the earth. Now, we began looking at Zechariah last week. And we never really got into this. And I want to look at this particular scripture, because I believe Zechariah in chapter 14 gives us a real clear layout of what's going to, some of the things that will happen at the coming of Messiah, the coming of Jesus. And let's look at Zechariah chapter 14 verse 1, and we're going to look through some of this, and I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation. You should have your notes as well, as I think you can follow along up here. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 21 we're going to look at. It says, "Watch, for the day of the Lord is coming, when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you. I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses looted, the women raped, half of the population will be taken into captivity, and the rest will be left among the ruins of the city." Now, God is warning that generation about their rebellion, specifically Judah. But it also has a consequence for end time events. And we know this is not just talking about the time of Judah in Zechariah's time. It's talking about a time to come. Now, the day of the Lord can mean a particular season, but it ultimately, as the scripture talks about the day of the Lord, ultimately, just like there are types of the coming of Messiah, types of Jesus, types and minor fulfillments, there's always the ultimate fulfillment, right? And the ultimate fulfillment of this is when Jesus comes back. That's the day of the Lord. It's a day when the nations will quake and Jesus comes riding on his white horse, not only to take vengeance upon his enemies, those who have killed and mutilated his people, but to set up his kingdom as ruler and king. Coming back as not a babe born in a manger as we celebrate this time of year, but coming back as a king of kings and a lord of lords. You know, the first time he bowed before Herod or Pilate, this next time they will bow before him. Amen. Along with the rest of the world. Now, if you read this scripture at face value again, you'd look at it and say, well, the Lord's gathering these nations and these terrible things are going to happen. Why would the Lord do that? Because, I mean, it what you read here is not very good, is it? It's terrible. So you could look at it and say, well, is the Lord causing this? No, simply, I believe it's not in the, I'm going to cause this to happen. In other words, I'm going to grab them and bring them over here. It's just laying out the consequences of what's going to happen in these last days. Now, let's go on. And if you look at this particular scripture, this is what's going to happen, unfortunately, to Jerusalem in the future. We have seen holocausts of the nation of Israel. Remember, in the book of Ruth, what's the lady's name? Can't think of her name. Esther, excuse me. Remember in Esther that God used Esther to rescue the Jewish people from annihilation. It was another planned Holocaust, but God intervened, Esther being a type of Christ, going before the king and seeking the mercy and interceding for the nation and saving the whole nation. God, through a young girl, saved the entire nation from annihilation because, they were going to completely annihilate the nation of Israel. There would be no Jewish people. They were going to wipe them out. But God intervened. We see certainly throughout history, emperors and empires trying to destroy the nation of Israel. Adolf Hitler, of course, being the most obvious, trying to exterminate all Jewish people. The Jewish people have been the most persecuted people on the planet in the history of the world. Everywhere they've gone, they face great, great discrimination and persecution. And yet, in spite of that, God has blessed them with the ability to be blessed. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I mean, everywhere the Jewish people have gone, not all of them, but the Jewish people have prospered. And they brought prosperity to nations. I mean, if you look at the city of, if you look at Jerusalem and look at Israel today, the desert will bloom like a rose. I remember Danny and Jenny talking about being there several times. How many times have you guys been to Israel now? 4 times. And last time, a couple times they went, they shared that, when we went years ago, man, talk about prosperity, right, in the nation of Israel compared to what it used to be when you went, right? And I remember going to, we went to an event over in the Minneapolis put on by John Hagee, A Night to Honor Israel, and they were, one of the mayors was there, and he showed clips of a city they built, and it was nothing but a pile of stone. There was nothing there, and now it's one of the most prosperous places in all of Israel. It has one of the top research universities in Israel. And throughout history, if you look at the Jewish people, the top scientists of the world have come out of Israel. Look at how many Jews throughout history have been amazing Nobel Prize winners, phenomenal scientists, doctors. Why? Because God's blessing is upon them because of the covenant he cut with Abraham. And guess what? We get into that covenant. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ because of our Jewish Messiah. Hallelujah. We've now entered into the very thing the Jewish people can have. The only problem with Gentile people is you've got to eradicate from their mind a poverty mentality. You got to eradicate that from them because we get all wrapped up in religion. And the Jewish people don't have that problem as much as we do. So anyhow, but the time is coming where we're going to see another Holocaust that's going to top, if it's possible, what Adolf Hitler did. The Antichrist, of course, is going to enter into a peace treaty with Israel, the nation of Israel, for 7 years. And during the middle of that peace treaty, he's going to break it, and he's going to go on an all-out rampage to try to kill and destroy the Jewish people. The peace treaty has nothing to do with peace. It has to do with deception. We constantly hear our politicians talking about, well, the peace accord, we need to get Jews and we need to get Israel into a peace accord to sign a peace treaty with Palestinians, and we need them to join in peace treaty. And I'm not sure what this peace treaty is going to look like. I'm not sure it's going to be a peace treaty between the Palestinians and Israel. It may be a peace treaty of some sort between the very Arab nations and Israel. And, Steve was sharing with me that Israel is going to have elections again, and under this current president, Benjamin Netanyahu, they're never going to enter into any peace treaty with any Arab nations. It's just not going to happen. Thank God, Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to give away any land of Israel. He's a strong, conservative leader. But Israel has people on the left just like America has people on the left. They have wimpy, no-spine people just like we have no-spine people. And they're very secularized as a nation. tend to think the Jewish nation is they're all Christian, they're all Jewish Orthodox. They're not. They're more secular than we are. And you've got this whole faction of people because it's caused great hardships on the nation of Israel economically because all the money they have to spend on securing their nation. And there are a lot of Jews who want to go and, well, let's make concessions with those people, just like a lot of Americans. Let's make concessions with everybody. Let's sit down and talk and have peace, peace at any price. You know, you see these bumper stickers, give peace a try, give peace a chance. Well, I'm all for giving peace a chance, as long as, you know, somebody's not going to cut my head off. You know, you can't have peace with somebody that wants to kill you. That's not peace, that's annihilation. But there are people in Jerusalem that want that. So if this president, this particular leader is gone, who's to say in the very near future there won't come another leader in Israel that will want to make those concessions? And we see that happen. But we know that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, and we know the spirit of Antichrist is in the world right now, it's just the man of partition has not been revealed, and he won't be revealed until God ordains that he's revealed. And when he is revealed, and don't waste your breath trying to figure out who he is, because you won't know until he comes along. And I can guarantee you, he's not going to come out of, I fully believe he's not going to be an American, he's not going to be European, he's going to be a Middle Eastern. He's going to come out of the Arab nations, because only an Arab who is Islamic could convince the Arab nations to go along with any kind of peace treaty with Israel. But he's going to deceive Israel, and he's going to deceive the Western world. He's going to deceive the nations. He's going to sound like he's the greatest thing since peanut butter. He's going to be a silky tongue orator, and he's going to teach everybody, oh, we're going to have peace, and I'm bringing the Arab nations, and the news media is going to cover it, and they're going to go, this is so fantastic. Look at this amazing person. They're able to bring peace in the Middle East. What everybody's been wanting for years, oh, if we could just get peace in the Middle East, and everybody will think it's the greatest thing, and it will seem like the greatest thing. In the meantime, he'll continue to conquer nations and destroy other nations, but of course, as we see in the media right now, they won't bother covering that because it's Islam doing that, and if it was Christians, we'd certainly cover it, but Islam's a religion of peace after all. You know, so the media will be completely deceived because they're already deceived, and they won't cover it as Islam continues to march through nations and sacrifice and kill people and mutilate them like they're doing right now, as well as Muslims who will not adhere to the radical demands of radical Islam. They'll slaughter him. But at 3.5 years, he's going to go on an all-out rampage. He's going to enter, he's going to come into Jerusalem, and he's going to absolutely destroy the Jewish people. The Jewish people are going to flee for their lives like they did under Adolf Hitler. They're going to try to get out of the country. Multitudes of them are going to be slaughtered. This very gruesome description of what's going to happen to the Jewish people in those days. They're going to flee to other nations. And those nations that take those Jews into their nations and bless them, they're going to be blessed during the millennial. Those nations who reject the Jewish people or add to their sufferings, God is going to persecute. God is going to suffer, and he is going to judge them severely. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about when he gathered the sheep on the one side and the goats on the other. And he says, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. That is a determination as to who gets to go into the millennial kingdom of those nations and people. So the way people treat God's people who are on earth, the believers, and the way they treat Jewish people is the way God's going to judge them or reward them. Amen? Amen. Well, it says in Scripture, so the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period are going to be hell unleashed on earth. It's going to be an absolute terrible, terrible time. And in Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, it says, I saw three evil spirits that look like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, because this is the unholy trinity. Just like we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have Satan, the dragon. We have the beast, who is Antichrist, and his government. And we have the false prophet, who is like John the Baptist, who comes and is the voice of the Antichrist. And he does lying signs and wonders. Says he even causes fire to come out of heaven and as a demonstration. Who is the prophet that caused fire to come out of heaven? Elijah, right? Considered the greatest prophet of the Old Covenant. He's going to cause fire to come out of heaven. Now again, John is seeing things that he didn't understand, because he's seeing end time events from a Middle Eastern, you know, years before this happened. There was no modern technology, so we're not sure. Maybe John was seeing rockets coming out of the sky, destroying destroying cities, which to him would have been, oh my gosh, can you imagine being John seeing these end time events? It must have just blown his mind. Blown his mind. And he's describing them as best he can. But this is what's going to happen. And it says in verse 15, look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all. Excuse me, did I read verse 14? Oh, they are demonic spirits, and it says they will come out of the rulers to the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God, the Almighty. And it says, look, I will come and as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so that you will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to the place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Now, this is at the end of the Great Tribulation period. I believe the War of Armageddon will not take place at the beginning. I believe it will take place at the end. Now, there will be a great war in the Middle East at the beginning of the Tribulation period. It tells us this in Revelation chapter 6. There's going to be a massive amount of people killed in the Middle East and all over that particular region of the world. We don't know how far sweeping it is, but we could look at possibly a third of the world's population destroyed in a single war. We're talking about billions of people. And all of the rumblings you read about nowadays, there are so many nations and rogue nations and terrorists that have nuclear capabilities, and we know that you've got a madman in North Korea, the sixth largest army in the world with incredible nuclear arsenal. You've got Iran, who, as far as we know, is almost armed and will be armed. You've got Pakistan, who has some of the largest nuclear arsenal in the Middle East, and they are going to fall to radical Islam. They're teetering and holding by a thread right now, but they will fall to radical Islam. You have these nations all over the Middle East that are armed to the teeth. And, you know, throughout history, you know, when we grew up, we thought, well, you know, when they shoot, because the big thing was the Cold War with Russia, and we thought, well, if one launches, they'll launch and we'll just wipe each other out. But we now know that there is a possibility of limited nuclear warfare that will not wipe out the nations. And we're going to see that in the future. We're going to see, I believe, a war of nuclear proportion that's going to wipe out. We could see entire countries leveled. Don't get me wrong. I mean, can you imagine if North Korea launched a nuclear missile into Japan? Or if North Korea launched a nuclear missile into South Korea? You could be looking at, you know, India has, what, a billion people on one continent, one country? Third, you know, large amount of people in India. So we could be looking at amazing amount of people killed. We don't know where the United States will be during that time. We don't know if we'll be here, if we'll be eliminated. I don't believe we will. I believe God will have mercy upon us, because I pray that we're one of the nations that will receive the Jewish people, that will God's people will continue to grow. And I believe God has spoken numerous times through different prophetic words that God is going to raise up cities of refuge in parts of the world where people will come and the grace of God will be there. It'll be like Goshen with the children of Israel, that people will be protected from not only the wrath of God that's going to be poured out upon the Antichrist kingdom, but also the Antichrist wrath that's going to be poured out upon God's people. And I believe God will raise up places where people can come and be protected and kept safe, and the grace of God will protect them. I believe that's true. But we've also I've heard numerous reports, numerous prophetic utterances, and again, we're not positive about these, but, you know, when you hear it from more than one source and they're not, you know, some flaco, you know, we've heard numerous reports of people having visions and dreams throughout history of seeing cities on the east and west coast laid to rubble. And so after you hear it more and more and more, you start going, this must be some validity to that. I was just reading this week where, you know, we think China is our pals, but they're, of course, not. They're still a very communistic, totalitarian nation. And while China cannot live apart from us right now, people say, well, they just kick us loose. Well, they really can't, because they're tied to the hip. You know, Brother Ron shared a lot about this and very insightful, that China needs the United States yet. Our economy is so large. We're the largest economy in the world. I mean, we put every other economy, it's minuscule compared to the United States economy. And so if China brought down the United States economy, they would go down with us. However, that doesn't mean they're not planning for it in the future, if they can manipulate it in other nations. But they won't do it until they can make sure that they can survive without us, if that's the case. But we're seeing these things happen, and we look back at our scripture here in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3, and let's look at more of this, because I don't want to just dwell on that part. Verse 3, it says, "Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he has fought in times past on that day. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from east to west. Half of the mountain will move toward the north and half toward the south. You will flee through the valley, for it will reach across Ezal. Yes, you will flee as you did from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and his holy ones with him." Remember what it says in Matthew chapter 24.